for our scripture reading this afternoon, I invite you to turn to Titus chapter 3, starting at verse 1 through 7, as we look forward to looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 26 and 27. The Apostle Paul pens these words again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And we'll also invite you to turn in the Forms and Prayers booklets as we look at Lord's Days 26 and 27 this evening, looking at Holy Baptism. Question 69, we're asked, how does Holy Baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? Our answer, in this way. Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it promised that, as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly His blood and His Spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. Question 70, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and Spirit? Our answer, to be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood, poured out for us in His sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified us to be members of Christ, so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. Question 71, where does Christ promise that we are washed with His blood and Spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? Our answer, in the institution of baptism, where He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Question 72, does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? Our answer, no. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Question 73, why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the water of rebirth and the washing away of sins? Answer, God has good reason for these words. To begin with, He wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ take away our sins just as water removes dirt from the body. But more importantly, He wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that we are as truly washed of our sins spiritually as our bodies are washed with water physically. Question 74, should infants also be baptized? Our answer, yes. Infants as well as adults are included in God's covenant and people, and they, no less than adults, are promised deliverance from sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who works faith. Therefore, by baptism, the sign of the covenant, they too should be incorporated into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, washed in His blood, a story is told of Martin Luther, the great reformer, that whenever he felt overwhelmed by sin and temptation, he would recite to himself over and over, I am a baptized man. I am a baptized man. And it was Martin Luther's way of reminding himself of the mercy of God to him, of God's grace toward him, and the help available to every baptized child of God. And when I read that, it struck me. And as I began preparing the sermons, or the sermon on this Lord's Days 26 and 27, I got to thinking, I wonder if we as God's people still today, I wonder if we live in the consciousness of our baptism and the blessings that our baptisms are to us, as we should. Of course, if any one of us were asked, we would say, of course, I'm baptized. Most of us would probably say, I was baptized as an infant when my parents brought me to the baptismal font. The question is this something that we are conscious of every day of our lives? Is the thought that we are baptized people with us through every single day, all the busyness of life, all the stresses of life that we go through in the times of joys, in the times of sorrows, in sickness and in health, as we get older, as our bodies succumb to various illnesses, is this consciousness with us that we bear God's sign and seal upon us, a sign that never fades, a constant reminder that we belong to God, that we are the sheep of his pasture, the flock of his care. We should, because there's great comfort in that, as we hope to see. Our baptism is a sign and seal of God's covenant with us. By our baptism, God has come to us and he has declared us to be his own. He has distinguished us from those who are not his people. And Paul, in our passage, in fact, uses it to drive home his case that Christians should obey authority. We should speak no evil. We should be peaceable and gentle and humble and all of these things. Why? Because that's how we were. But now we have been washed. We have been regenerated. We have been renewed. Not to mention, we have been adopted. We are now heirs of God's kingdom and co-heirs with Christ. And that's something that we should constantly appreciate and live out of. And so with that in mind, our theme as we look at Lord's Days 26 and 27 this afternoon is this: living in the consciousness of our baptism. Not consequences, there seems to be been a typo in the bulletin. Living in the consciousness of our baptism. And as we consider this, two precautions. Our baptism is never to be overrated. And in the second place, it's never to be underrated. But as we strive to live in the consciousness of our baptism, we see in the first place that it's something not to be overrated. And by this we mean we should not assign more to our baptism than we should. Make it say more than it says. An example of this is addressed in question and answer 72. In question 72, the question is, does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? Remember, this was asked in a context in which this was believed by some people of the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, our answer, as Christians, as Reformed believers, no. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sin. And this question and answer touches on one of the mistakes that Christians have made over the centuries. That is, to put too much emphasis on the water. Now certainly, of course, that's not to be disputed, that the Lord commanded us to be baptized in water, and the Lord could not have given us a better sign. Water, of course, cleanses like nothing else, but the water of baptism is a sign, and that's what we have to remember, pointing us to the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and we are never to forget that. I read, for instance, of an American priest one time working in South China, and he wrote that whenever he would hear of a child in a village dying, he would rush over there and he would baptize them, him or her. Why? To give them a chance of heaven. That's why he would baptize them, to give them a chance for heaven. That's a ghastly misunderstanding of baptism. As if the water itself placed upon a child's head can save them. And that's what we mean when we speak of overrating our baptism. When we think of the water itself as the means whereby God cleanses from sin. Or if we give to the water itself, say, magical powers. That's why the form for baptism, in fact, warns us that we are not to use the sacrament of baptism out of superstition or mere custom. It tells us these things because in their wisdom, as those who frame these documents for us, they understood that we have these tendencies in us. And we find that out the first time someone asks, so, why do you people baptize your infants? And we find ourselves fumbling, and perhaps we even say something like, I don't know, I think it has something to do with them being saved or something like that. if we find ourselves saying something like that. That's, first of all, a wrong answer. And it's a misunderstanding of what baptism is. It's an overrating of what baptism is. The water, we always have to remember, is merely a pointer to something that far excels the outward sign. That is the receiving of God's forgiveness. We're never to place our trust in the water itself. We're always to see the one who stands behind the sign, whose authority and mercy is signified by the water. When we make the water the object of our trust, then we have become superstitious. And so we're never to keep our focus on the water itself. It's given to teach us. It's an object lesson. And again, that's not to devalue the sacrament in any way. We need this sign. It's not a worthless formality, but our eyes may never stay on the water. We're not to put too much emphasis on that water to the point of thinking that the water itself saves us. That's overrating it. But there's another way that we can overrate our baptism by assigning it so much power that we ignore the obligations that come with it. And the attitude of such a person who overrates his baptism in this way, to give you an example, would be a person who says something like, well, I'm baptized, God has set me apart by it, the blood of Christ has cleansed me from my sin, I am accepted as God's child, that's all there is to it, I don't need to do a thing, I don't need to change a thing. That's overrating our baptism. But we would do well to listen to the second part of answer 70. Where it says, to be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified us to be members of Christ, so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. Now, this addresses a conversation I had once with a couple regarding the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. It was troubling to them, and rightly so. That quite often people say they're Christians, and a true Christian by definition should have the Holy Spirit, but their struggle was that many Christians don't give evidence of that. And so they were asking, well, if we're saying that when we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to be sanctifying us, where is the renewal in many people? Where is the sanctification? Where is the dying to sin more and more? Where is the living the holy and blameless life? And maybe we just hide it very well, but it's confusing to some people. It just doesn't add up sometimes. Shouldn't we be known by our fruit? And so, for the record, this evening, let's state this very plainly. An unholy baptized person is something of an oxymoron. In baptism, we are not only set apart publicly by God, it means that we have received His Holy Spirit to enable us to begin to speak and think and act differently to the rest of the world. And our baptism remains with us, or at least it should be in our consciousness, to remind us that we are called to walk differently to the people of the world. Our baptism keeps before our eyes what God wants us to be. He wants us to seek after holiness and righteousness. Or we can say it this way. In baptism, God says to us, you are pure. Or I have purified you, now seek after purity. So, we don't want to take away from the comfort of our baptism, but we don't want to make it say too much either. The warning we want to take away from this is that our baptism places obligations and responsibilities upon us. I might remind you of Esau, who the book of Hebrews speaks of, that he scorned his birthright, and he lost it, and he couldn't get it back even with tears. Or the author of Hebrews talks about the Israelites who rebelled against the Lord in the wilderness, and they never saw the promised land. And so we're not to make our baptism say more than it actually says. We have obligations as those who have been baptized to live before the Lord in holiness and righteousness. We have obligations to take hold of God's promises, to make them our own. We have to live lives of daily conversion. The old sinful ways have to be making room for the new. And such pursuits include our daily reading and personal study of the Holy Scriptures, learning more and more of who God is, what He has done, what He expects of us. Our baptism calls us to purity, at least striving for purity, guarding our eyes, our lips, our minds from things that would enslave us in sin once again. Our baptism calls us to discernment. It calls us to much and increasing prayer, to reverent worship, faithful worship, good Christian fellowship. Are we doing these things? Are we pursuing these things? Boys and girls, teenagers, young people, young adults, mom, dad, middle-agers, seniors, are we working out our salvation in fear and trembling as we are instructed to in God's Word? Are we wrestling with the truths of God's Word? Are we making our calling and election sure? Are we being transformed by the renewing of our minds, or are we conforming to the world more and more? Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that we must be buffeting our bodies and bringing them into submission. Are we doing these things? Are we putting the old nature to death, as Paul exhorts us in Ephesians 4:22? Are we living as children of light? Are we shining as lights in this dark and sinful world? Are we letting our light so shine before men that they see our good deeds and so glorify our Father in heaven? Do these things describe us as baptized people, from the youngest here to the oldest? Because our baptism calls us to live and work and be entertained differently to the people of the world. Our baptism may have been received passively when we were brought to the baptismal font, but it certainly does not call us to inactivity all our lives. It calls us to live out of the promises of God, to live lives of thankfulness. Because overrating our baptism by refusing to change would be a despising of the wonderful gift of God's love that baptism signifies. And so let us never overrate our baptism. But neither is our baptism to be underrated, and that's what we see in the second place. In other words, we are to be careful not to lessen the value of our baptism. We can say it this way: our baptism is not just a ceremony in which water is put on our heads. It's not just that. And when we have been through it, it's over. There is meaning. There is significance. Things that we are to never forget or take for granted all through our lives. Our baptism is a priceless, priceless gift. And unlike earthly gifts, it does not fade and it does not lessen in value as time passes. The Catechism, as it draws together scriptural teaching for us, exalts our baptism. It speaks of our baptism in very lofty language. Listen, for example to question and answer 69. How does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? We answer in this way: Christ instituted this outward washing and with it promised that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly His blood and His Spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. And by the way, the fact that Christ Himself has instituted this outward washing is something that should already make us sit up and take notice. Because the God of our salvation does not issue pointless commands. He has a purpose. And His purpose in baptism is to remind us and assure us that Christ's sacrifice on the cross is for us personally. And the question picks up on that and gleans that out of the Holy Scriptures. The sacrament of baptism is for us personally. That's why, by the way, we don't baptize with a fire hose. We have a bowl of water, and we do it individually. And in that water, God speaks to us one at a time, personally. He says to each one of us in our baptism, I have cleansed you of your impurity. You are clean. Your sins are forgiven. And the beautiful thing about baptism is that it is God who comes to us. It is He who takes the initiative. He never says to us, you know, get yourself clean and then come to me, then you can be baptized. He takes us to Himself while we are still sinners. You've heard of people who have been rebaptized? It's a great error. Because they turn baptism from something God does to something that we do. When a person is rebaptized, it's basically their way of saying, I have made this decision. I choose to follow God. I have done this. But baptism, biblically understood, is always about what God has done. Is it always about God coming to us, God cleansing us from all impurity. Baptism signifies that He has removed our sins from before His face, and He is the one who has set us apart as His children. He is always the one acting and doing. We are always passive. We are always receiving. Indeed, left to ourselves, we would have no desire nor ability to seek God's cleansing. We heard in our passage that it's God who saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It is God who mercifully, graciously comes to us and takes us to be His own. And the water of baptism helps us to understand that. The sacraments, as we hear in Lord's Day 25, are signs and seals. A sign, of course, points away from itself to the real thing. I say to my catechism students, if you run head first into the exit sign, thinking that the sign itself is the way out, then all you'll get is a massive headache. The sign points the way. It says, this way is the way out. This is the exit over here. A sign points away from itself to the real thing. And a seal is a guarantee. It's the mark that what we have is genuine. That we truly belong to God. I have a stamp in my desk drawer that says Library of Mitch Rankison. And when I buy a new book, as many book collectors will tell you they do, one of the first things I do is open it up and I get that ink blotter out and I put my stamp in there saying to one and all, this book is mine. This belongs to me. It is cherished by me. That's what God does for us in baptism. It's His solemn promise that we are His, warts and all. As dirty and corrupt as we are, He takes us to be His own. Which explains why water itself is used, because water reminds us of washing like nothing else. It reminds us that we are in need of cleansing. We stand guilty before God. We are heirs to the guilt and pollution of our father Adam. Not only are we born bearing the guilt of original sin, but out of this sinful corruption flows every kind of rebellion and unlawful living. Paul describes us in Titus 3 verse 3, according to the sinful nature, as foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But praise God, he goes on to say in verse 4 and following, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. God saved us and called us to be His children when we were covered in sin and guilt, when we were the most vile, the most wretched of sinners. And He washed us. And He purified us through the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And our baptism assures us of this cleansing. The sacraments are never empty ritual. They speak, they announce, they proclaim what God has done. In the sacrament of baptism, God says to us, as surely as you see this water, so certainly are your sins washed away. Just as water purifies, washes clean, so the blood of my Son Jesus Christ purifies you from your sin. And beloved of God, if we live in this consciousness, this is what will keep us going forward. This is what will lift up our heads as we face disappointments and challenges again and again. This is what keeps us going as we fail again and again to live up to our calling all through our lives. Not merely that I had water placed on my head as a baby, but that this water spoke of the one who has taken me to be his own, who has set me apart as his own, who leads and guides and guards my life, and who will hold on to me, even in those times when I want to let go of him. Our baptism is never to be underrated. And children of God, I want to challenge us and encourage us this afternoon to make it a practice in our daily lives to be living in that consciousness of our baptism. That is, to be daily reminding ourselves that we wear the mark of God's ownership and love upon us. And so, for instance, in those times when we are tempted to sin, we may respond as we speak to ourselves, as we speak to our souls, I can't do that. I am baptized. In those times when we are frustrated and stressed out and angry, we can say to ourselves, hold on now. You're a baptized man. You're a baptized woman. You belong to God. You are his precious treasure. As we get older and we face the challenges that come with aging, as we have those moments when Satan plants doubt and fear in our hearts, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Have I really trusted enough? We can look back and think about our baptism. In those times in life when we experience illness and pain, when anxiety and depression visit, as we are tempted to make compromises, we can encourage our souls with thoughts of God's gracious care for us. Boys and girls, even when we do our schoolwork, when we do our chores around the house, when we have to put up with that annoying brother or sister, we have to remember and remind ourselves, I am baptized. How can I do evil and sin against God? In congregation, let us all live in the consciousness that we have been washed and renewed by the blood of Christ through the power of God's Holy Spirit. God has set us apart as his own, calling us heirs of his kingdom. Our loving Heavenly Father has spoken to us in a way that we can understand. In the sacrament of baptism, he points us to and assures us of the washing and cleansing that we have in Christ. Baptism is not a testimony of our faith or our faithfulness. If it was, let's face it, none of us could even receive it. Baptism is not first and foremost a sign of the believer's commitment to God, but God's commitment to us. Salvation is always by grace alone. And so let us never underrate it so that we lose our comfort. And let us never overrate it so that we become lazy Christians. We are baptized into the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are set apart as his own. We are holy and called to holiness. Amen.